You feel about the war?
It's the greatest thing that ever happened to the Iraqis.
Did I get killed, or what was it? Greatest thing that ever happened to Iraqis. That's okay. I like your opinion. What, can I ask your opinion on the Iraq War?
No, thank you.
No, oh, sure I would. I'd love to. No, really. You could give me like 30 seconds of it.
If it weren't for the war in Iraq, others, you wouldn't have the opportunity to stand out there and do what you're doing. Because of people like me who went and fought for our freedom, you wouldn't have freedom.
Could you say that on tape? Could you say that on tape?
I was in the Army, and I wasn't alive in the 1700s.
The United States of America is the most powerful nation on Earth. In itself, this goes a long way to explaining the things it does around the world. At present, it's conducting a war on terror, or more accurately, a campaign against opposition to US domination. Others prefer to call it the beginnings of the Third World War. The United States has an insatiable appetite for conflict. And since going into Korea in the 1950s, it's been at war with someone or other in some corner of the globe non-stop right up to the present day. This drive is now led by the weapons manufacturers themselves. It is a highly dangerous precedent. I call it war corporatism. It is the door of a new fascism being pushed open. And don't be fooled, not all fascism looks like Adolf Hitler. The reality, as we see from the Iraqi invasion, is that the presidency has been captured by the most powerful elements of this corporatism. And this ghastly molecule aims to turn the world into its very own enslaved global market. And the plan is well underway. The attack by Al-Qaeda on the World Trade Center is just one response to it. Is this a conspiracy? Quite the opposite. It is a high-profile project known as the Project for the New American Century. People like Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Richard Perle are the major players among politicians, right-wing thinkers, militarists, and industrialists in the creation of the project. The project is a neoconservative manifesto, which includes in its toolbox the unbridled use of war in clearing a path for U.S. interests. The will to attack Iraq came entirely from this visible yet sinister group. September the 11th was merely the pretext. Bush was merely the figurehead. And so, who's next, you wonder? Iran? North Korea? France? Britain? None of us really matter to them.
Broadcasting live from sunny Tampa Bay, Florida, it's the Robert Revere Show. He's on a mission from God to destroy tyranny, to preserve freedom, and wake your sorry ass up. Get ready. Here he comes. It's Robert Revere.
Card, your license, your thoughts, your fears, no SIM card, no disco, no photo, not here. Your blood, your sweat, your passions, your regrets, your profits, your time off, your fashions, your sex, your pills, your grass, your tits, your ass, your laughs, your balls, we want.
We want your soul.
Your habits, your fads, your fears. Give us your address, your shoe size, your ears, your digits, your plans, your number, your eyes, your schedule, your desktop, your details, your life. Show us your children, your photos, your home. Here, take credit, take insurance, take a loan. Get a job, get a pension, get a haircut, get a suit. Playing the lottery, play football, play the field, or some toot. We'll show you dream, we'll show you school, we'll buy you dreams, throw away your book. We'll sell you crap, we'll charge you back. Wanna buy big guns in the front of cash? Your love, your dreams, your checkbook, your essence, your sweat, your screams, your security, your sobriety, your innocence, your society, yourself, your place, your distance, your space.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control again. Here, watch this. Shut up. You are free to do as we tell you. You are free to do as we tell you.
Can I ask you guys how you feel about the war?
What do you want me to say? Who are you and what do you want?
Hello and welcome to the Rob Revere Show. I am your host, Rob Revere. You've got me for about the next hour, followed by Sunny Crack. And then, of course, you've got Loop Radio, League of Unified Patriot Radio, with Rasta. And then the Machine, Garen Green, coming at you. So this is Friday, June 25th. You can feel free to send me a message on the Yahoo Messenger right now. You can just type in Rob, R-O-B-B, underscore Revere. If you do so, I'll send you an invite to our Revere Radio Network chat room over there on the Yahoo service. In the chat room there, you're going to find all of us, or at least most of us. Most of us Revere Radio Network hosts, we're just sitting, chilling, talking about what's going on, talking about issues, talking about the shows that are happening right now. Also, you could reach me on the AOL Instant Messenger at Tampa Patriot. Now, I'm happy to say that in 2 weeks, we're going to be starting a Thursday night broadcast, and it promises to be a great, thought-provoking, and entertaining night of all new informative broadcast. I mean, you know, you've heard me say in the past to get involved. Mostly, though, I mean, I've said this type of thing to try and get people to maybe start a show and become a host here on Revere Radio Network. You've also heard me say that if you truly want to get involved and actually see some change, then you need to get involved on a local level because, I mean, on the local level, that's where the change actually starts. Now, I'll give you a good example. There's no way you're going to get the Patriot Act repealed on the federal level. I mean, come on, you know this, okay? But think about it for a second. How many cities and counties nationwide have tossed the Patriot Act? Tons. Even right here, Pinellas County and the city of St. Petersburg have denounced the Patriot Act and have written and submitted resolutions on this draconian law that deteriorates our basic fundamental civil liberties. So you see, you can create change on the local level, and that's where everything starts. I mean, tonight I think I'm going to cover a couple of local issues that have truly irked me this week. First of all, here at Revere Radio Network, we have a friend, a great friend out in California that goes by the name of Stallion 4 on our forum. Now, I woke up on Monday morning to find a post on the forum from Sir Stallion, and it was dealing with a local issue. I mean, remember, I said this cat's in California, but he had put a post regarding something that was going on right here in Pinellas County. I mean, I don't know how he found it, but I'm glad he did, and I'm glad he posted it. Anyway, this article really pissed me off. I mean, I just woke up, and I mean, the first thing I do each morning, I usually check the forum for new messages. I check the stream to see how many listeners I have and how many listeners I had throughout the night. I check my email, all that good stuff. Well, I saw this article, and it was entitled, "Sheriffs to Pull Teens Over for Good Driving." Give me a friggin' break, people. The sheriffs are going to pull teens over for good driving? I'm going to read it to you. It's a really, really short article. But I also want to play you a newscast from here, one of my local news stations, WTSP. The TSP stands for Tampa, St. Petersburg.
Well, it is one of the first tastes of freedom, you know, when a teenager gets a driver's license.
It's a magical day, but statistics prove over and over again the highest number of crashes involve drivers in that 15 to 20-year-old age range. 10 News reporter Deanna Sheffield explains how Pinellas County is promoting safe driving by pulling teens over when they least expect it.
The sinking feeling when the red and blue lights start flashing, the officer walks up.
I'd probably first freak out and be like, what'd I do?
But soon, Pinellas County deputies will pull over students for doing something right. Sergeant Glenn Lubin explains deputies in unmarked cars will randomly pick student drivers who are leaving school.
And they'll follow them for a short distance down a major thoroughfare, and they'll watch their driving. They're using their turn signals, they're not following too close. Once they identify that we have a good, safe teen driver there, they will attempt to follow them to their house or make a stop somewhere in a open shopping center area.
Instead of a ticket, they'll get a $50 certificate for the movies and rentals.
We're hoping that this spreads and these kids tell their friends, hey, driving safe pays off, and maybe we can get a few kids to not be involved in crashes.
Her son's safety is this mom's number one concern.
Oh, I think that's a marvelous idea. Instead of trying to always catch somebody doing the wrong thing, doing the right thing would be great.
But some aren't convinced this is the safest way to reward kids.
I wouldn't know if I should pull over or not because there are weird people out there. And you don't know if they're just messing with you, try to get you to pull over.
And it's scary for parents, too. I mean, there's so many kidnappings and other things going on, so I would just be concerned for my child.
Sergeant Lubin says even though the cars are unmarked, you can still spot them because of the lights in the front and in the back.
Number one, we're in a full uniform that's identifiable. You know, if you look in your mirror, you're going to see an officer in a uniform.
And even if that's not enough to convince your team.
We are cognizant that some people may be concerned, and we do ask if they are concerned, slow down, put your signal on, understanding, so that we understand you're not fleeing from us and that you're in pointing over, indicating that you're going to drive up to a safe spot that's well lit. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all.
Now, Marty and Dave, this program stems from the work of a father who lives in Oldsmar. His son died in an accident involving a teen driver, and deputies have tried it out once. They say that they pulled over two teens. They were a little, oh my goodness, but after they figured out what was going on, they were fine. They're doing it right now in Oldsmar. In fact, they're going to pick the program back up when school starts up again. There's an idea that maybe this will catch on in other communities.
It's scary, though, because they made some good points that the women you were talking to, unmarked cars, all the kidnappings and the weird things happening lately, you don't know if you should. What if it is someone who just went out and got some special lights or rented a costume or something?
I asked that very same question. Yeah. The sergeant said, believe it or not, they haven't had any issues with people being concerned. Yes, they may go to a very highly populated place and go someplace where it's very well lit, and then they feel okay, but they said they've had no problems. And again, this is during daylight hours. This would be after school hours when kids are about to go home. So.
I get the feeling that one of the kids might just get scared, panic,
and take off and floor it and
start a chase. It's a great idea, but...
Yeah, and a lot of people said maybe there's a different way to do it. Maybe go through the schools and reward students that way. I'm sure that with a lot more publicity about this program, the sheriff's office may decide if there's anything they need to do. But again, they say it is safe because they have the uniformed officers, and that's the number one thing. If you feel uncomfortable, as he said, go someplace where you do feel safe. And, you know, it is a certificate for a movie, but if you don't feel comfortable, you can certainly go someplace else.
Plus, all your friends go by and they go, oh, look,
you're in trouble. And they're hoping the opposite effect that you'll say, guess what I got when I pulled over?
Okay. Enough of that. I don't even want to hear no more of that. I mean, this just really pisses me off. I mean, God, and it should piss you off, too. I mean, there's no doubt about it. What if a kid flees, they asked. So what? None of that would hold up in court. You know, the law states that no police officer can talk to me without probable cause. I'll give you a good example. One time, I used to live in a place right behind a Walgreens pharmacy, and me and my buddy walked through this field, and we were going to Walgreens, and we walked through this field. We were now in the back of Walgreens. We were walking around to the front. Lo and behold, there's a Pinellas County Sheriff sitting right there in the back. Well, it's me and my friend Pete. My friend Pete happens to be a black guy. So automatically, we look suspicious, okay, according to this cop. But he couldn't talk to us. Well, my dumbass flicks my cigarette. Okay? And all of a sudden, the cop turns his lights on and comes up behind us with his car. We stop. He stops his car, puts it in park, gets out, and says, I wouldn't be talking to you right now, but you flicked your cigarette on the ground, and that's littering, so I now have probable cause to talk to you. I learned a valuable lesson that night. I learned that a cop cannot talk to me without probable cause. A cop cannot talk to me unless they have witnessed me breaking a law. Now, wanting to say hi to me is not probable cause. Neither is to tell me, oh, you're driving good. That's not probable cause. So, yeah, if I'm a 16, 17-year-old driver and I haven't done anything wrong and an undercover cop comes behind me, not undercover, but an unmarked car. I like to call them sharks because, I mean, they circle around and they drive around here like sharks just looking for prey. But if I were to floor it and haul ass and start a chase, that doesn't matter. I mean, you know why? Yeah, I'd probably go to jail. But you know what? All the charges would end up being dropped simply because there was no probable cause to pull me over. This is an obvious violation of our fundamental basic rights. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, why couldn't they use the tag information and mail the kids the movie tickets or the rewards? Think about that. I mean, think about it. They catch you on camera blowing a toll booth or speeding or aggressive driving or you cut somebody off. There's cameras all over the place. They do this. You end up surprised one day. You come home from work. You open up the mailbox and you find a couple $100 worth of tickets. So why couldn't they mail them to you? That would surely be an even bigger surprise to the teen other than, you know, violating their rights to reward them. I mean, in my opinion, it's just a way to acclimate the kids to being used to having their rights taken away or violated. It's a way to get the kids to not think at all because, ooh, I get $50 worth of movie tickets and free rentals from Blockbuster. Give me a friggin' break. Remember a few months ago, I went over how over half of students polled think the First Amendment should be curbed and that the press should be controlled. I also told you in that show that they just aren't teaching the kids about treasuring their rights anymore. They're not teaching the kids that our rights are precious. I mean, if they were teaching these things, then there's no way in hell that that poll would say students think our First Amendment rights are too much and they need to be restricted. It really hurts me to hear this kind of thing. It should hurt you, too, to hear an American child come out and say, I don't want the freedom of speech, and I think the press should be reviewed by the government before it's printed. That's very, very troubling. The reason things have gotten to this point is because of the conditioning kids have, the conditioning that kids have gotten, such as this new program, to pull them over for doing good. Give me a friggin' break, people. Or, in the words of Dr. Evil, throw me a friggin' bone. I mean, someone's walking down the street with a burrito, and a school gets locked down. The students are treated like prisoners. I'll show you the article if you don't believe me. I mean, you have kids in school being offered rewards and money to snitch out family members. This is very sad, this road that we're going down. Grab a pen and paper. I want you to write this down. I'm about to give you the number to the Pinellas County Sheriff's Department. Sergeant Glenn Lubin is his name. I want you to express to him how you feel about this program. Whether you live here in Florida, whether you live here in Pinellas County or not, I don't care. This ought to piss you off and you ought to speak your mind about this. Okay, I've already contacted these people. There's no, you know, federal funding involved with this at all. This is all being funded by some guy who's really sad. He lost his kid in an accident. And I mean, and I'm remorseful for this guy. I'm very sorry that you lost your son. But that doesn't mean that you can violate people's rights. I don't care if you're rewarding them or not. You don't take away someone's rights. The number to the Pinellas County Sheriff's is 727-582-6200. His name is Glenn Lubin. Anyway, when I get back, I think I'm going to go into RFID a little bit. So stick around.
To those who scare peace-loving people with phantoms of lost liberty, my message is this. Your tactics only aid terrorists.
Would you like to sign a petition against the USS Patriot Act?
And here in the libraries, they're asking people to let them know what books you are reading.
They can peek on people's houses, tap phones, tap email.
These citizens in Northampton, Massachusetts are petitioning Congress to repair the damage and repeal provisions of the Patriot Act. Other groups across the country are doing the same.
If more people knew what their Congress had signed onto, I think that they would all be signing petitions.
A couple things that are essential in moving forward is that we have to understand is that the information that we have been told over the predominant media is an absolute scam. We go forward in love, but we also go forward with the conviction and the knowledge that if we do not speak the truth right now and do what is right, not only our grandchildren and our children, but our fates are sealed toward one of the greatest sadnesses that we could ever think of. Each and every one of you has a choice. You can be quiet and sit on the sidelines, or you can be part of the Second American Revolution to restore not the democracy, but the republic. Equal laws for all people. We are not moving toward a police state. We are already in one. We all know this. We are in a police state, and this is not what America is supposed to be about. All you have to do is go down MOPAC. There are 46 cameras, digital cameras, on MOPAC in the last 6 months, wherever you're going, scanning your face. Over 300 cameras in the city of Boston, constantly. This is insanity, friends. 3-4 years ago, if you read the book 1984 by George Orwell, it was pretty far out. But today, it's passé. And friends, all of us here today, we have a choice. You know, we can take the proverbial blue pill and we can go to sleep. Or, as Morpheus says, you can take the red pill. And he says, I don't know what's going to happen. You're going to go down the rabbit hole, but all I can offer you is the truth. And that's all that people such as myself and the hundreds of other patriots around the country hear us ranting and raving. But if you listen to us, there's something there. And the reason that we're doing, you know, we could be out playing tennis or up with our families right now, just like you could. We have to understand that this is a political, an economic, and a cultural debate and a crisis right now. But there's something more going on. This is a time of spiritual choice. And unless we speak the truth right now, and unless we stay in our hearts and look at these people right in the eyes without fear, we're all on the list. Folks, don't worry. You're all on the list right now. You know, there's no going back. The only way to protect ourselves is by going forward. Yeah! We go forward in love, but we also go forward with the conviction and the knowledge that if we do not speak the truth right now and do what is right, not only our grandchildren and our children, but our fates are sealed toward one of the greatest sadnesses that we could ever think of. Each and every one of you has a choice. You can be quiet and sit on the sidelines, or you can be part of the Second American Revolution.
Give it up for Kevin Choice on the keyboards tonight, yeah.
Oh, my own
my, they got us doing suicide, singing, oh my God. Yeah, my, they got us even genocide, singing, oh my God. Yeah, my, they got us even suicide, singing, oh my God. Slam, bam, I come unseen, but like gasoline. You could tell I'm in the tank, like money in the bank. I smell a peenin', but I'm toxic, continue reeling without an inkling. Keep it thinking, cause you gave cash to the feds, left your school district for dead, fucked you up in the head. But still they saying nothing's wrong, selling fire water but outlawing the bomb. Still, but even the system is working, well, half of my people are still out of working. Anonymous notes slipped in the pockets and coats of judges and jurors from Frisco to Jersey. Threats and protests, politicians, mob debts, drummed up charters and phony arrests. Staged a lethal injection the night before the election, cause he got donation from the prison guards union. Oh my God. Yeah, my mother got us even suicide singing. Oh my God. Yeah, my mother got us even genocide singing. Oh my God. Yeah, my mother got us even suicide singing. Oh my God. Listening to my stethoscope on a rope, internal lullabies, human cries, thumps in silence, the language of violence, algorithmic, cataclysmic, seismic, biorhythmic. You can make a life longer, but you can't save it. You can make a clone and then you try to enslave it, stealing DNA samples from the unborn. Then you're coming after us because we sampled the James Brown horn. Scientists whose god is progress, a four-headed sheep is their latest project. The CIA running like they're Jones from Indiana, but they still won't talk about that Jones in Guyana. This ain't no cartoon. No one slips on bananas. Do you really think that that car killed Diana? Hell, I shot Ronald Reagan. I shot JFK. I slept with Marilyn. She sung me happy birthday. Ah, oh my God. Yeah, my mama, they got us even suicide singing. Oh, ah, oh my God. Yeah, my mama, they got us even genocide singing. Oh my God. Got us even suicide singing. Oh my, oh my. Politicians got lipstick on the collar. The whole media started to holler. But I don't give a fuck who they screwing in private. I wanna know who they screwing in public. Robbing, cheating, stealing, white collar criminal, McDonald eating. You deserve a beating. Send your home a weeping with a bad feel for your Caribbean weekend. But just about anything they can bust us for, sabotaging, saying halls of justice, telling the youth don't be so violent. And you drop bombs in every single continent. Mandatory minimum sentencing, cause he got caught with a pocket full of medicine. Do that again, another time. I've been a man of peace, a man, I want a peaceful revolution. Singing, oh my God. Say, oh my God. Yeah, my mind, they got us even suicide. Singing, oh my God. Yeah, my mind, they got us even suicide. Singing, oh my, oh my, oh my.
Stop us, no, 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 stop us, no are listening to Revere Radio Network.
That's right. You're currently listening to the Rob Revere Show exclusively on RevereRadioNetwork.com. That last song was Oh My God by Michael Franti. I definitely got to thank Adenak over at abigsecret.tk for that tune. As a matter of fact, if you folks are interested in any documentaries or audio files or PDF like ebooks and documents and such, I suggest you head on over to filetopia.org and download Filetopia. It's a P2P, you know, person-to-person file sharing client. And there is a chat channel on there called A Big Secret. And you'll be able to find all sorts of stuff over there. Well, now I've calmed my nerves down a little bit with a little bit of Jim Beam and Pepsi, that is. No wonder I'm getting so fat and all this sugar. I think I'm going to go into a little bit of RFID. You know, I got a really cool wife. I've put her through a lot of shit, man. And she stuck with me through it all. So I got to give it up to her. Many of you who are on the forum know her as Ape. And she's very, very supportive of me. And I really appreciate that. She brought me home a magazine called... Let's look at the cover of this. Information Week, business innovation powered by technology. My wife, Ape, is director of operations for a medical supply company. They sell and distribute and blades and such for opening chest cavities and things for people who need operations and such. But she saw on the cover a giant soccer ball which looked like it was ripping right through the cover. Really cool how they did the artwork. And in big yellow letters it says, RFID breaks out. Soccer balls, tools, and toilets. Where you'll find the tiny chips next. She saw this and asked her boss, "Hey boss, can I take this magazine home?" She told me the boss looked at her kind of crazy and said, "Sure, go ahead." I'm like, why in the hell do you want that? But it was mainly because, I mean, it was talking about RFID. And there's actually like three articles in this issue that talk about RFID. And I just want to cover a couple of them with you because RFID is very, very intrusive. RFID is becoming more and more common in everything that we use and everything that we do, and it's another mode of control that is being implemented to track and trace us and keep a record of what we do and where we go and how we do it and when we do it. And I mean, all of this is stored in a database, and it's really sick stuff. I mean, soccer balls, casino chips, toilets, wristbands, payment cards, cars, power tools. They're all using radio frequency identification these days. I mean, it's popping up in all sorts of places. And while it's still anyone's guess how many years it's going to take before RFID tags are cheap enough to put, as the magazine does, revolutionize the tracking of goods and supply chains, RFID is proving itself in new and unexpected ways, this magazine says. Information Week. Business innovation powered by technology. I just want to read a little bit of this with you and just share a little bit of this. I promise not to bore you or put you to sleep. Sears Holding Corp. is using RFID to track merchandise returns. And they got a whole story on that that is beyond this one article in this magazine. And who would have guessed a technology that has had the business world in knots over cost and privacy, would nonchalantly stroll into the world of sports. Wearable RFID tags are now common at marathons and triathlons, tracking times for competitors throughout races. Now, the Fédération Internationale de Football Association and Adidas are developing a soccer ball embedded with an RFID chip, hoping to end debates over whether a ball crossed the goal line. The high-tech ball will be tested at the Under-17 World Championship in Peru this fall. I remember about a month or two ago, Sonny had a show, and he told you about the Jacksonville Suns, a minor league baseball team, who had RFID chips embedded in wristbands for cashless payments of food and drink. Well, when you read into this article, it says that these wristbands in Jacksonville for this minor league team, it doesn't only get concession lines moving faster. A test showed a 10% increase in per-person spending. Because, I mean, they're not worried about the person behind them. They're not worried about taking up too much time and maybe an irate drunk redneck behind you wanting you to hurry up. Another minor league baseball team, it says, the Nashville Sounds, deployed the system last month. American Express just this month began issuing payment cards embedded with RFID chips, which will require stores to install RFID readers before they're of any use, following similar moves by MasterCard and Visa. Now, you want to know what? 7-Eleven and CVS. I don't know whether you have CVS where you're at, but here in Florida, for many, 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 many years, around 70 years, we had Eckerd drugstores. And CVS just bought Eckerd shortly after Mr. Eckerd died a couple years ago. We've got CVS's everywhere. But 7-Eleven and CVS drugstores plan to accept the cards. Most business cases for RFID that work well are 100 times simpler than the problems the consumer goods and retail industry are trying to solve. RFID has become part of the Robert Bosch Tool Corporation sales strategy. You know Bosch Tools, power tool company? The company which sells pricey power tools that tend to disappear from construction jobs. In April, they started offering gear embedded with RFID tags, along with readers and software for tracking how and where the tools are being used. The article says it can add 2% to 5% to the cost of the products, but stolen tools cost the construction industry an estimated $1 billion a year. Well, let me ask you, what about the power tools that aren't stolen? Anybody with one of these readers can tell that you have these tools. They can tell when you're using it, how you're using it, how long you've used it. Let me go on here. Why all the activity? After all, radio frequency chips, they've been around for decades. Credit, in part, the recent ambitious industry-wide efforts led by Walmart and the German retailer Metro and the Defense Department. They've helped spur development and standards for today's breed of passive RFID chips, which don't need batteries and are sparked to life when they pass a reader. Mandates from those organizations have given RFID mass market exposure to all types of industries. Total sales of RFID readers, tags, software, and services are expected to pass $5 billion within 2 years, up from $2.1 billion this year and $1.1 billion 2 years ago, according to the investment firm Robert W. Baird & Company. Hey, if you folks happen to play around with the stock market at all, invest in this company for sure. Listen to that, 2 years ago, $1.1 billion. Last year, last year, $2.1 billion. And they're looking to pass $5 billion within the next 2 years? Absolutely. There's a quote here from someone at the... His name is Rick Reed. He's from Robert W. Baird and Company. He says, we're starting to see a lot of non-supply chain applications worldwide. Exploration efforts from Walmart and the Department of Defense are starting to pan out in the form of applications you would never have expected, it says. Now, this is where it gets a little bit crazy also. Take gambling. Some casinos are trying RFID in their poker chips, in their gaming chips, to stop the use of counterfeits. Gaming Partners International Corporation has sold more than 3 million poker chips with RFID chips in them. They've also sold hundreds of readers, RFID readers, to casinos worldwide, including the brand new Wynn Resort there in Las Vegas. Just opened this past April. The Hard Rock Casino in Las Vegas. The article says they began experimenting with RFID. The chips embedded with RFID on some of the blackjack tables just a little earlier this year. Automobile makers are working with RFID for applications such as keyless entry and government compliance for tires. So they're going to put RFID in the tires as well. The RFID embedded products coming out now aren't of the Microsoft Home of the Future variety, where a microwave scans a box of macaroni and cheese for the correct time and temperature for cooking. Today, the simple applications are the ones making the most impact, and not always in a good way. This is where I tend to agree. The privacy controversy follows RFID most everywhere it goes, and some people worry about being constantly tracked with that's a solid argument. There's no way around that. I mean, all you just imagine RFID readers everywhere. Let's say you're wearing a Abercrombie & Fitch shirt. I mean, they're experimenting with RFID in their tags, in the tags of their shirts. Imagine a world full of RFID readers everywhere. Remember, these things don't need batteries. They last a lifetime. They come to life, as this article says, as you pass a reader. The reader reads the RFID tag through the radio frequency. That's why it's RFID, radio frequency identification. But this talks about an elementary school. It says administrators at Britain Elementary in Sutter, California, issued RFID-chipped ID tags to kids in January. But parents quickly squashed the program with the help from the American Civil Liberties Union. The State Department's plan, let me turn the page here, to put RFID chips in new electronic U.S. passports later this year has raised concerns about whether the passports could be skimmed. Skimmed is in quotations. Skimmed by identity thieves and terrorists. What skimming is basically cloning a credit card, cloning anything like that, getting the information and making a copy of it. That's why it says identity thieves and terrorists. Skimming these. All you would need is an RFID reader, and you would have all of your information. Let's say you had a passport right now, and I had an RFID reader that could read the RFID chip in your passport. As soon as you walked by me, right here on the screen, on my RFID reader, I would know your name, your phone number, your address, your social security number, your blood type. I would know everything about you. Everything that's listed on that RFID chip, I would know about you. The State Department says it's exploring a number of security options, including encryption for electronic passports. But in the evolution of RFID, even people tracking is finding effective and accepted uses. At the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, a program slated to start in January 2006 will monitor inmates using active RFID at a first phase cost of $1.5 million. The department hopes that the tracking will cut down on the number of violent incidents in LA County jails. At the Jacoby Medical Center in the Bronx, New York, RFID tags have found their way into patient wristbands. Each tag contains a patient's name and medical record. Nurses can scan it using a tablet PC containing a reader and pull corresponding records from the hospital's database. Hospital personnel have seen a reduction in drug administration errors, and CIO Daniel Morrell says freeing nursing staff from having to type information into a database has led to improved productivity. As we expand the system throughout the network of our two hospitals, our two emergency rooms, and all 46 nursing units, I'm looking at more than $100,000 investment for equipment, Morrell says. More affordable chips are clearly driving some new applications. Graduate students at the University of Washington use RFID tags in studying genetically modified trees. Tapping a chip into a tree that's read with a handheld device throughout its life to improve conservation techniques. A doctoral student at the University of Florida is creating RFID grids in carpeting, hallway baseboards, and along outdoor walkways to help visually impaired and other disabled students navigate the campus. And a company called Aqua One Technologies Incorporated sells an RFID-enabled water monitoring device that can be attached to a toilet to send an alert or a signal to shut off the water when the toilet is leaking or overflowing. It's certain that not all of this ingenuity will pan out as real progress. Will an RFID payment card prove so much handier than swiping a magnetic strip card? Well, yeah, you won't have to swipe it. You just stand there. And already you hear the grumbling about an RFID chip desecrating the soccer ball. One thing's for sure. Despite all of the hand-wringing and head-scratching over RFID technology, nothing will stop it from showing up where it offers new and better ways of doing things. And then the last word of the entire article is, goal! One word sentence, goal. I think that's probably in regards to the soccer ball. Another article in the same magazine is entitled Return to Sender. RFID reduces errors for Sears. Let me light a Marlboro light here. I'm a smoker. Nobody's perfect. I drink alcohol. You hear my drink right here? Nobody's perfect. Sears Holding Corporation has begun to use radio frequency identification technology for both unique and traditional supply chain applications. For the past year, the department chain has been testing RFID at an Atlanta return center that handles return merchandise. Beginning next month, Sears will start testing RFID to track new appliances moving from distribution centers to 3,800 stores. Sears plans to have RFID in full production at its 280,000 square foot Atlanta Return Center by September 30th. Just a couple months away, people. With the remaining five centers to follow within a year. With RFID, Sears is able to reduce incorrect placements of pallets containing return merchandise, which can result in pallets being put on the wrong trucks. Products come into the return center on pallets where they're separated and put onto new pallets according to where they're going to be shipped. Each new pallet receives an RFID tag with a tracking number. Software keeps tabs on each time a pallet is moved. Sears uses active and passive RFID equipment and tags from Intermec Technologies Corporation. Look them up on the internet. Intermec, Intermec, Intermec Technologies Corporation. They're a logistics company is what they are. They're designed for forklift software and real-time warehouse location software, which ties into an Oracle database where product information is stored. A database. Active RFID tags, which take direction from radio frequency signals bouncing off antennas on the ceiling, direct a forklift operator on where to place a pallet. The system replaces the need for an operator to get off a forklift to scan a product with a barcode reader. That has resulted in improved operator productivity, according to Sears, says William Littlejohn, manager of project operation at Sears. We're still in the process of doing the analysis and gathering the data, but we can see a distinct difference between facilities that don't have an RFID-enabled shipping process with those that do. This is just sick. I mean, RFID is becoming, you know, very prominent in our lives. RFID is taking over. RFID, radio frequency identification, these little chips are going to be embedded in everything. If you've ever read about nanotechnology at all, you know how they can make things so small. I mean, even here in Florida, our brand new driver's licenses and our ID cards are embedded with an RFID chip. These things can be embedded into plastic. Oh, that's obvious. You heard me read the American Express has just joined Visa and MasterCard with embedding these chips in their cards. So, I mean, people, this is serious. This is something that you really need to get involved in. You really, really need to consider taking a look and reading up on RFID, reading up on who's pushing RFID. And yeah, the Department of Defense is absolutely one of the main players in implementing RFID and getting it into the everyday life, getting us acclimated, getting us conditioned to this. It's nothing new. It's very scary also. I mean, just think about it. I mean, RFID tags on every cell phone tower. How many cell phone towers do you pass by on your way to work each day? Let me ask you, I mean, how many RFID cell phone towers? Imagine an RFID reader on each of those. So everything that you have on your or in your possession, in your car, in your briefcase, in your wallet, in your pocket, the clothes you're wearing on your back, the tires on your car, everything, all that information is going to be collected and kept in a database. They're going to know how fast you were going. They're going to know what time you were there. I mean, it's sick. Total big brother. Let me give you a good website to go to. I gave you the number to the Pinellas County Sheriff's earlier. I asked you to grab a pen and paper so you can take it down. Hopefully you still have that pen and paper handy. Because I'm going to give you a new, I'm going to give you a website here, which is going to teach you a lot about RFID. These are friends of mine. I have them linked right here on my website. They are zombiewire.com. www.zombiewire.com. Keeping watch on those who are watching you. Folks, I want to thank you for tuning in to the Revere Radio Network. I want to thank you for listening to the Rob Revere Show. You've got Sunny Crack coming up next. Sunny Crack Show is for a mature audience only. I allow Sunny on this network to do one thing for me. Do one thing and one thing only, and that's push the limits of free speech. You don't like it? Change the channel. Go somewhere else. He's coming up next. Not sure what he's going to talk about tonight, but I think he's going to have a special guest with him, Mr. T. Gim, the Grim Reaper. Good friend of mine as well. He deserves much love. So big props to you, T. After Sonny, you've got Rasta and The Machine after Rasta. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night for the Saturday night special. We've got 4 hours of madness with Rex 84, followed by Dire Wolf from the Bunker. 4 hours of the most wildest shit you'll ever hear. I think tomorrow night, I mean, they're going to be talking about Scientology, both of them. And they're going to be definitely exposing these people. And there's a lot to learn. So make sure you tune into that for sure. That all starts tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And within the next 2 weeks, I will have William H. Kennedy on the program, on the Rob Revere Show. That's definitely going to be a great show. Make sure you check out his website, williamhkennedy.com. He's an author of 2 books, Satanic Crimes, as well as Lucifer's Lodge. Gets into a lot of pedophilia in the Catholic Church and Satanism, Skull and Bones, things of that nature. It's real funny. Jeff Gannon threatened to sue him because he sent him a letter. If you go to williamhkennedy.com, you can actually see the letter Jeff Gannon sent him because Bill Kennedy called him Johnny Gosh. But he'll be on the program here in the next couple weeks on the Rob Revere Show. And that definitely, that'll be the first week of July he'll be on. Promises to be a great show. Anyway, thank you for tuning in to the Revere Radio Network. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll be back with you again next week. Out.
There's so many things going on in the world. Babies dying, mothers crying. How much oil is one human life worth? And what happened to peace on earth? We believe everything that they tell us. They're gonna kill us, so we gotta kill them first. But I remember a commandment: thou shalt not kill. And how much is a soldier's life worth? And what happened to peace on earth? And the bewildered herd still believing everything we've been told from our birth. Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth? And whatever happened to peace on earth? So I guess it's just do unto others before they can do it to you. Let's just kill them all and let God sort them out. Is this what God wants us to do? And the bewildered herd still believing everything we've been told from our birth. Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth? And whatever happened to peace on earth? Now, you probably won't hear this on your radio, probably not on your local TV. But if there's a time and you're ever inclined, you can always hear it from me. But how much is a picker's word worth? And what happened to peace on earth? But don't confuse caring for weakness. You can't put that label on me. The truth is my weapon of mass protection, and I believe that truth sets you free. And the bewildered herd still believing everything we've been told from our birth. Hell, they won't lie to me, not on my own damn TV. But how much is a liar's word worth? And what happened to peace on earth?
Stay tuned for the Sunny Crack Show with special guest, the Grim Reaper, T. Gim, for mature audiences only.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
And now, with Lee Sterling, our feature presentation.